Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill joins me to help me understand a headline in Bloomberg Wealth. Evergrande's Oi, H-U-I, amassed billions in dividends before crisis with Evergrande. This is Blake Schmidt reporting. Oi received more than $7 billion in payouts since 2009. However, the story here derives from something that we would find very strange. The Evergrande Group founder's property empire is teetering on the edge of default, and his personal fortune has landed squarely in the Chinese government's crosshairs. As Evergrande struggles to meet obligations to creditors, says Bloomberg, authorities in Beijing are urging Oi to alleviate the crisis with his own wealth. The directive came after Evergrande missed an initial September 23rd deadline for an interest payment on one of its dollar bonds. Gordon, in the United States, in courts in Europe, this would be considered as confiscation. The reason you're part of a corporation is you're protected from being plundered by creditors because you were working for a corporation. I'm presuming that doesn't exist in China, but is there precedent for this, or do we regard this as the new China, that capitalism unless we plunder you?
This is the new China. It just seems to be a really short-term move, because the whole idea of limited liability is what permitted Europe, for instance, to develop a strong economy. And that, of course, was transferred over to the U.S. And what Beijing is doing right now is taking a very short-term measure. And it means that other entrepreneurs who have built great fortunes are now going to be very hesitant about continuing their businesses. And, of course, people are going to be hesitant about starting new ones.
Evergrande is a property developer, a builder, and a place for speculation. The number that it owes is fantastic, and it's failed to be able to pay the interest on its bonds. Has it failed, Gordon?
Not yet, John, because last Thursday, Evergrande made an $83.5 million payment on the first bond that it missed. And that meant it made the payment before the end of the grace period, which means the bondholders may not declare a default. But there have been other defaults since then, and Evergrande owes a lot of money between now and the end of the year. And normally a debtor wouldn't make a payment on a bond if it couldn't make payments on other bonds, because otherwise it really just doesn't really help in the long run. So I assume that Evergrande is going to be making bond payments between now and the end of the year. But the thing that's really strange, John, is that its two big asset sales since September 23, which was when it failed to meet its bond payment on its first obligation, It's two big asset sales have cratered. Of course, it hasn't been selling apartments in any quantity. So the question is, where did Evergrande get the money for the payment it made last Thursday?
Good question. Also, what about the investors? I remember stories originally when we first heard about Evergrande's failure of investors having put tens of thousands of dollars into apartments that were not built and that the construction cranes had stopped, and there were protests. What happened to the protesters, Gordon? Do we know?
Well, Evergrande has started construction on a number of projects, and that, again, is a mystery. You know, in terms of where this is going, Evergrande owes about $305 billion. Its chairman, Hui, he has maybe, it's been called, $7.6 billion in assets. But a lot of those assets are Evergrande stock, which now is worth very little. He's apparently, as you mentioned, accumulated to some dividends, But future dividend streams out of Evergrande will be negligible if they exist at all. So I don't think he's really got the money, even for that $7.6 billion, to help retire the company's debts. So this really looks like a desperate move on the part of Beijing, and it's just not going to work. And it's going to, as I said, have long-term detrimental consequences to China's private sector.
Is Evergrande a window on this number that we were surprised to get from China, a 4.9% growth? Shockingly low given their boasting these last decades. And does this connect for the larger story of China's slowdown, the cutback in electricity to factories, the doubts about the ability to keep the lights on? Is that all related?
Well, it is all related because it relates to the economy. I think the debt crisis has had an effect on growth, largely because property companies have had to slow down on its project, like Evergrande did stop construction. But also what we've seen are the COVID lockdowns, which are now accelerating. China goes periodically through outbreaks. Those outbreaks are occurring more closely together. Also, we've got the rolling power outages, which you referred to. All of those, I think, contributed to that 4.9% growth figure, which I believe is exaggerated, because when we look at stories and anecdotes and statistics about China's consumption, which is supposed to be the heart of the Chinese economy, they point to basically declining consumption, which means that the Chinese economy itself should be in contraction.
The Chinese economy is built on the export model. Is it still working, Gordon? Are they waiting for better weather after the pandemic in U.S. and Europe to revive their export only?
Yeah, the net exports is really the only hope for the Chinese economy, because there is pent-up demand around the world, which is contributing to these extraordinary supply chain disruptions. But you got to remember that those supply chain disruptions are going to affect orders from Chinese factories. Because if you can't load this stuff on a ship in China, if you can't unload it at Long Beach, you're just not going to be ordering it from China. So that will also have a detrimental effect. And this is going to be a continuing problem, because these supply chain disruptions will continue at least through 2022, maybe 2023. I've heard people say 2024. This is a long-term problem for China's export sector.
How does this connect to the belligerence that China's diplomats and the foreign ministry has demonstrated towards the neighborhood, towards everyone, these last months? And also the stories about an imminent attack or an eventual attack on Taiwan. How does that suit this declining economy, doubts about exports, and property bubbles? Does that all go together in someone's mind in Beijing?
I think so, John, because I think Chinese leaders are seeing a closing window of opportunity. We started seeing this in Chinese propaganda in January of last year, when they were actually very explicit about the limited time period that China had to realize the Chinese dream. Since then, problems have gotten much worse. You know, we've had COVID, of course, and all the other problems we've talked about. But you've got worsening food shortages. You've got a deteriorating environment. You've got the demographic crisis, which is just starting. You put all these things together, and I think Chinese leaders believe that they've got to move now, because 10 years from now, they won't have the ability to intimidate. They won't have the ability to invade.
Gordon Chang. At Gordon G. Chang is the Twitter address, at Newsweek, at Gatestone, and The Hill. We're reporting on China as we can see it, but it's non-transparent. So there's a deal of guessing that has to go on for these odd conducts. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.